We're at the bottom of 182, at the bottom, and the top is page Nun. Okay. The Alter Rebbe is explaining that everything in the world has a body and a soul. Everything in the world has a body and a soul. The body is, and even in the person, the soul has its soul and the body has its own soul. Even though there's a big difference between the soul of a person, soul of an animal, the soul of a plant, and the soul of inanimate. But it, nevertheless, everything in the world has a soul. Why is the Alter Rebbe mentioning this? The Alter Rebbe is bringing out the point that if you do a physical mitzvah, granted the physical mitzvah is what's really important to do, but if you don't have the intent of the mitzvah, then you have a body without a soul. And you need the soul to pick it up. So he says like this. There is a concealment of it's going to start five lines in the bottom of the page. That everything comes down as this concealment of Hashem. Hashem is slabish beklipis noiga, until it comes into the neutral level of evil, meaning permissible objects. Lahachi is klolos elam azeh achumri, to give life to this physical entity, this physical mundane world. What does it mean? Haynu kol dvarim hamutarim v'tahedim sheba elam azeh, to everything kosher in the world, u'mimena v'al yodeh, and through it, and from it, mushpoim dvarim tmeim, comes the impure levels of everything that exists in the world. Meaning like this. Everything comes from God, given. Okay? Even evil comes from Hashem. Everything that exists, which is completely evil, gets its nourishment from Hashem. If not, it couldn't exist. But what does Hashem do? Hashem conceals himself, limits himself, retracts himself, restricts himself, down, all the way from the higher spiritual realms, until it comes into the permissible objects of the world. And through the permissible objects of the world, that gives life to the non-permissible items of the world. And this we learned already a number of times, but to briefly repeat it, because it's Chassidus 101, as they say, everything in the world has a soul of God in it. Correct? Like we learned, even the stone inanimate has this power of Hashem in it. No. Everything in the world, even a chazir, which is Shalosh Klipos HaTemeiim, is complete evil, has a soul of God in it, which is the power of Hashem's mouth that keeps it existing, like we learned, right? If not, it would become nothing, it would disappear. Now, the purpose of creation is to elevate, like you said before, to elevate the physical world to make it holy. So when God comes down into the world, there are what's called permissible things, meaning objects that the Torah allows us to use. Kosher food, tables, chairs, you know, anything which is permissible to use. Chassidus explains that the word mutar, which means permissible, in addition to meaning permissible, means untied. Matir asurim, we say in Shemoneh Esrei. Matir asurim. Matir means to untie. Asur means forbidden, but it also means a prisoner bound. Okay? Objects which are permissible, like this, no, this is a bad example. This, no, because this is holy. This is a cup which is halachically allowed to be used. Okay? Therefore, is it holy? No, it's not holy. If it's not holy, unlike the Webster's dictionary interpretation of evil, in Chassidus and Kabbalah, in world, if it's not holy, it's evil. It's klipa. But what level? So how does godliness come into this cup? It goes through the realms of holiness and lowers itself lower after lower after lower, down, until it becomes a physical object. But it first comes, the godliness, into giving life to the world, into the permissible objects. This object is a permissible object. What does that mean in Kabbalistic terms? That the power of God that's in this cup is untied. It's not bound to the evil. This cup, because it's not holy, by definition is evil. It's completely different than our understanding of what evil is. But it's either holy or evil. This is holy. This, therefore, is not holy yet. Therefore, it's called evil. But it's an evil that has a spark of God in it, the soul of God, so to speak, like we learned, that's not bound to the evil of the cup. Therefore, if it's not bound and tied to the evil, if you use this cup for the right purposes, you elevate it to holiness. An apple is evil because it's not holy. But an apple is allowed to be eaten. What does that mean? That the soul of God, the spark of godliness, which is in the apple, is not bound to the evil. If it's not bound to the evil, it's loose. So if you make a bracha on it and you eat it for the right purposes, you're elevating the apple, or rather, what you're really doing is elevating the spark of godliness that's in the apple, and it becomes holy. You elevated it to Kedusha. Pig is evil that the Torah forbids. Now, in order for the pig to exist, there has to be a soul in it, like we learned, a spark of God keeping that pig existing. So why can't you eat a pig? Why does Hashem forbid eating the chazer? Because the godliness that's in that pig is asur, it's bound to evil, and if it's bound to evil, you cannot elevate it. You could take a chazer, you can make a brach on it, you can eat it, for the sake of serving God, you can go with the power of the cheeseburger or chazer that you ate and serve Hashem with it. Guess what? The godliness that's in that pig stays bound to the pig and doesn't go anywhere.
Why is it bound? Because Hashem decreed it.
Hashem made it bound. Right.
Hashem wants this.
Right. Which means that is godliness in a lower state than the permissible objects. Because the godliness in the permissible objects are not bound and tied to the evil. Therefore, they can be elevated. This one second. This is bound to the evil, which means that godliness lowered itself to such an extent that it can't even be elevated. So therefore, when God is giving existence to the world, right, first it comes from Kedusha, lower, 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 so then it goes to the neutral level of evil, Klipas Noiga, and then it goes, like he's saying here, from that, it's the intermediary. Klipas Noiga is the intermediary between holiness and total evil. Huh?
It's part of.
No, it's part of, but it can go either way. The apple, the spark of godliness that's in the apple, it's in evil, but it's not bound to evil. So if you eat it with the bracha for the right causes, you elevate it to holiness. If you eat it without a bracha for the wrong purposes, then you lower that untied spark into total evil. What?
Yes, I thought when we eat with a bracha, it releases the energy.
That's modern day language that I don't dig.
What energy?
Huh?
What energy?
That's what I'm saying. My energy, everything, attitude and energy.
But the idea that the
unpermissible
thing, I'm getting the highest from the
Klipas,
from the Nova thing.
Right, because Kedusha comes.
Not from that, it's just the second level. But
no, it goes through that. Kiddush, godliness comes from the world from up to down, right? So it goes from Kedusha down into Klipas Nega, through Klipas Nega into evil.
I thought it was from the backside.
Yeah. What does that mean? What does that mean from the backside? He spoke English.
It comes from the back.
What does that mean?
Hashem's backside.
What does that mean?
Backside, I don't know.
No. When you like somebody, and you want to give them something, you look at them and give a face-to-face connection. Right? When your kids drive you up a wall, but you have to feed them anyway, and you got no choice, okay? Figuratively speaking, you throw it over your shoulder. What does it mean, over your shoulder? I don't want to look at you. I have no choice. I have to feed you. Okay, figuratively speaking, right? So it's like you throw it over the shoulder that you don't want to look at the person. Kedusha is called face-to-face because Kedusha is bottled to Hashem. It's subjugated, subservient to Hashem. So Kedusha and Hashem have what's called a face-to-face relationship. In an analogy speaking, it means there's this good relationship between Kedusha and Hashem. Evil, Hashem sustains, because without Hashem sustaining evil, there is no evil. Hashem sustains it. Does he want evil to exist? No. So therefore, does he want evil? No. So it's like, I'm forced to feed evil, but I really don't want to. So therefore, you have the expression, Chassidus, or in Medrash, commander, as if you should throw it over the shoulder, it's the level of Reisas Achoyrai, it's, you know, backside to backside. And by the way, you can have two people standing on opposite ends of the world, figuratively, looking at each other. They're really close to each other. And you can have two people standing next to each other, back to back, that they don't want to... So they're actually the whole world apart. Okay? These are figurative language for the relationship between Hashem and Kedusha. By the Jews, it's Yis Hashem Panav Eilecha. Okay, I'll show you. Panisi Aleichem. When Jews misbehave and Hashem is upset with the Jews, he doesn't want to sustain them, or evil. He doesn't want to sustain evil, but, so to speak, he forced himself to sustain evil. But it's not in a way that he wants it, it's in a way that he has no choice. If Hashem doesn't want evil, why bother making it? So the answer is very simple. Because in order for good to be good, you need the opportunity to do evil. If there is no evil, then good is no good. Like a malach, an angel, that has no yetzirah and can't do... So when they do good, it's worthless. Because they're programmed to do good. Of course they're going to do good. In order for good to be good, you need opportunity to do bad. So Hashem made bad, not as an end within itself. Good was created as a tachlis and an end by itself. Evil Hashem created as a means to an end. What's the means to the end? The tachlis of evil is not evil. The goal of evil is not that there should be evil. The goal of evil is, for good to be good, you need to have evil. So Hashem wants evil for good to be good. But that's only like over the shoulder wanting. That's what it means. But the chayis of Hashem's existence in the world, in total evil, goes through first the stage of Klipas Nega. Then it goes to Shoshvitz at Tumeis. So Klipas Naiga, this level of evil that shines Kedusha in it, is the intermediary and the Mamutza between Kedusha and evil. That's all he's saying. And that's not all he's saying, but that's what he's saying. What are you worried about Mashiach coming? So Mashiach comes, Ruach HaTum Ma'avim Min Ha'aretz, evil won't exist. But then the Avaida is over. No, then the Avaida of doing good from bad is over.
After the new Avaida of doing better from good.
Correct. the Aveda then will be better instead of good. Or a tzaddik that has no Yetzirah now, what does a tzaddik who has no Yetzirah do? He has no desire to do evil, so what is his Aveda? The work of a tzaddik is to do better instead of good. And if he does good instead of better, he did evil on his level. Right? Because if you do good instead of better, then you did bad. Okay. So bottom line. The bottom line of the page. What do you mean bottom line? Alpha became Ha'ara Shiyam Shachas Achayas. This revelation of godliness that comes on the Chayas Asher Hashem Meir U'mechaya Derech Levusa, that comes through this garment of Klipas Naiga, a neshava bekulam is not equal in all the objects of the world in the level of tzimtzum v'ispashtus of the concealment. And Al Rebbe is going to explain the different levels of categories in the world. Some are higher than the next. So in the higher ones there's more kedusha, more revelation of godliness than in the. And he says, ki beguv gashmi, in the physical body, v'adei memamish kavanim, the inanimate like stone, the offer dirt, ha'arei b'chinas simtzum gadol. The concealment of godliness is so great, to such an extent that there's no life in it. There's no movement in a stone. That means it's so concealed that the godliness concealed itself. Because not only that, godliness is the epitome of life. When godliness comes and gives life to something dead, such as a stone, so that's a tremendously great concealment of godliness doing it. Shabai mu'atas kol kach, that the godliness in the stone is so limited, acha ein bayafilu keach atzemeach, it doesn't even have the ability as a plant to grow. Batzemeach, and in plant, ha'ara ein abitzimtzim godul kol kach, it's not as limited as inanimate, but it's not as much as animals. Right? So each category of the world, the lower the category in the world, the greater the concealment of godliness is. In other words, a stone which has no life to it, the concealment of godliness is so great that the godliness which is in it doesn't even allow it to move, like, or to grow.
So there's a lot of holy things that also are not growing.
What do you mean growing? A safer, it did it already. It like the kids would say, it growed already. It grew, it finished. It's holy. Now, can Kedusha grow? Yeah. Every time you use the Siddur, it becomes holier.
But, yeah, I understand that, but you don't see, like you said, because the Hashem is so concealed in a stone, the stone cannot even move.
Right.
It doesn't show any life.
Right.
But here the thing, holy objects also don't show life.
They don't show life as far as movement goes, correct. But me and you, if I don't know about you, me, if I would see a book on the other end of the table, and I don't know if it's a comic book or a siddur, okay? For me looking at, unless if I see the cover, okay? Me looking at that book will not know if it's holy or not. That's not the book's problem. That's my problem. Because I'm blind. A tzaddik can look and see if that's a holy object or not. Because it is holy. The question.
He can also see godliness in a stone.
He sees a very concealed level of godliness in the stone that concealed itself to the extent that it doesn't do any growth. Yeah. Right. As Al Rebbe said, when I look at a wall, I don't see the pillars, I see the power of God keeping the pillar in existence. They say from the Maggid.
It's like the Rebbe says, I'm davening with the shtender, you know, the godliness is everything. He sees godliness in everything.
Al Rebbe, davening with the shtender, yeah. the Maggid was once able to tell on a piece of workmanship that the person that did it that was blind in one eye. And it wasn't because it was crooked. It wasn't that the object was crooked, and therefore he was able to see that the guy couldn't see straight. When you take a hammer, okay, and knock in a nail, your power goes into that wood, right? That's why you get tired. Why do you get tired when you work? Because your power left you. Where did the power go into? Into the object that you made, right? A tzaddik can, especially when they know the people on the a tzaddik could look at an object and see who made it. Because he can see whose power is, person's power, not Hashem's, which person's power is in it to be able to see what type of person made it. Me and you can't do that. Well, I can't do that, but you.
I can do that a little bit.
A little bit. Okay, so that's why I only said me and not you.
Who was so concerned that he left his slippers? He didn't want Napoleon to get anything.
Dalton Rebbe. No, that was because of witchcraft.
Yeah. But was it because the objects he was in, his power or his holiness was in the objects he didn't want him to have?
The reason why, when the Alter Rebbe was running away from Napoleon, because Alter Rebbe was on Russia's side, and he helped Russia a lot in the war against Napoleon, Napoleon knew witchcraft. And in order to do witchcraft, you need to have an object of the person that you want to witchcraft. So the Alter Rebbe realized he left something home, so he sent a messenger back to get rid of it and burn down the house. And Napoleon, the first thing he did when he came into that city with Alter Rebbe was, ran to the Alter Rebbe's house because he wanted to be able to practice witchcraft to be able to affect Alter Rebbe. But there's another story with Alter Rebbe that when the guy, you know the story when Alter Rebbe wanted to stop the boat to do Kiddush Levana when he was going from the interrogation? Yeah? No? Yeah, no. I think it was that story. I think it was that story that the Alter Rebbe gave him a ksav yad, and the Alter Rebbe was in Kiddush Levana. The Alter Rebbe was in prison, right? The Russian prisons, they were dealing with Russian people, so the prisons were on an island. Like the English had Australia was their prison, because they couldn't escape. And Alcatraz, they're all on islands where you can't. So when they were taking out the Rebbe from the prison to the interrogation, he went with the raft. Okay? So the Rebbe wanted to do Kiddush Levana. So he said to the guy, stop the boat, I want to do Kiddush Levana. Okay? So the guy said, no, you're a prisoner. So the Rebbe miraculously stopped the boat. So the Rebbe said to him, you see that I can stop the boat, so I'm going to restart it. I'm asking you to stop the boat, and I want to do Kiddush Levana. The whole thing from the Rebbe, why did he have to stop the boat? Well, he could have done it. Okay. So now the Rebbe, so the guy said, I'll do it if you write me a bracha. I want a piece of paper, a bracha. So now the Rebbe wrote him a bracha. They should live long. So the Rebbe once by a Fabrengen said, the miracle of the story is that the Alter Rebbe's handwritten note ended up by a goy. That Rebbe's handwritten note would end up by a guy. That's a chiddush. And that's why, just in a practical sense, you know, we sell our chametz for Pesach. When the Rebbe used to give mashka to people, the Rebbe used to give bottles of mashka to people, the Rebbe wanted that the bottle should be finished before Pesach. The Rebbe didn't want, not only the Rebbe, the Rebbeim didn't want that their objects should be sold to a goy. So the Rebbe gave somebody a bottle of mashke. The Rebbe didn't want that you should sell it together with your chametz and drink it after Pesach. It was also with the Marash, with a little kid with candies in the pocket. He made him eat it up because the Tzemach Tzedek didn't want that even candies of the Rebbe Marash should be in the hands of a goy. And that's why even when the Rebbe sold his chametz, the Rebbe never sold the chametz to the goy. The Rebbe's, when you sell chametz today to a Rav, you're not selling the chametz to the rabbi. You're making him power of attorney to sell your chametz to the goy. The rabbeim didn't sell their chametz to a goy. The Rabbeim sold their chametz to the Rav. The Rebbe never sold anything to a goy. I thought a dog got in here somewhere. The Rebbe sold his chametz to the Rav, and it became the Rav's chametz, and then the Rav sold it to the goy. But it wasn't the Rebbe's object anymore. Because the Rebbeim didn't want that their object should end up by a goy. What? Rise above?
Witchcraft.
That's not witchcraft. That's Baba Mises.
No, there's witches. There's stuff. They try and pull forces. I tell them you're, but go ask Hashem for a protection. You're above it.
Dr. Rebbe didn't want that witchcraft.